Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Lurking beneath the surface of an idyllic lake is something wilder than anything we could imagine. Is it a prehistoric beast still alive after centuries, or a family of misunderstood creatures who just want some peace of their own? This week's episode is The Loch Ness Monster.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you.
Nessie.
Oh man. I gotta say, I am blown away at the amount of time, resources, and money that have been poured into trying to determine if this thing is real or not.
Reckless government spending.
It is. I mean, a small country could have been fed.
It's like we said,
for years and years.
NXIVM, the $100 million they paid old Keith Raniere or whatever for his legal bills.
Yeah, imagine what you could do with that.
Think of all the money, the Nessie money. You got to keep Nessie safe.
I guess it's the same thing as archaeologists or paleontologists wanting to learn things from the past and maybe that can help you discover new things. But also, is it really going to change our lives?
We've got to know what's in the lot, Christy.
If we discover that there's a giant sea creature living in this loch.
Well, we'll get to that at the end. What happens when the government has determined what to do when we
there's
find her?
There's a protocol in place.
Not if, when.
When we find her. Also, let this bitch rest. I mean, if she is down there, and yes, I think she's a she. Well, I guess Nessie is she.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Gender is a social construct. Nessie can be whatever she wants. She's gender neutral.
Nessie's living their life down there.
Yes. Well, they're probably tired of trying to evade these idiots that are trying to poke and prod her.
Trying to, like, lay in my muck at the bottom of the ocean or the bottom of the loch and you fools are...
I have had a day of searching for food and I'm just trying to watch my stories before I turn in for the night. But I got 600 sonar beams I'm trying to avoid.
Beep, beep. It's not quiet. Sonar makes a sound.
Yeah, it's like it's trying to sleep when your faucet's dripping. You're like, God damn it. Do I get up and deal with this? Or my whole thing is my dog's licking.
Ooh.
In the night. I don't know if it's pronounced misophonia or misophonia.
Oh, but where the sound of chewing.
It's a real thing. Mm-hmm. I have it. And there are certain noises that trigger me into a full-blown rage.
I thought you meant mesothelioma. There's an 800 number you can call for that.
I wish there was an 800. No, this is misophonia.
Okay.
And it's when...
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes. I used to work with somebody. We sat as close as you and I are sitting, which is about 4 feet away. And if I would try to eat food...
Oh, don't do
he
that.
He would say, you have to stop the crunching. Yeah. And one day we got delayed. We were working too much and I hadn't had lunch. And I just said, I have to eat. So I'm going to go in the other room. And my laptop was there. So I'm going to leave. Or my computer. I got to leave. I got to eat.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Your ears are upsetting you.
Good on you on leaving, though, and not just making him listen to that.
I'm not going to put a bag of Doritos down. I don't care. I'll go to another room.
Because people don't think it's a real thing. And they're just like, stop being a little bitch. Just deal with it. And I'm like, you don't understand how certain sounds it's not something I can control. They literally send me, I have like blind rage. And one of them is my dogs licking themselves.
Yeah.
To the point where now we have to put them in other rooms when we sleep because it gives me so much anxiety. It'll wake me up and then I'll just get like so mad and then I'll get anxiety and I can't go back to sleep thinking it's about to happen again, which are all the spiraling classic symptoms of this. I also had a company-wide memo sent out by HR once because a guy in my cubicle area would not stop popping his gum.
Oh, there's a great episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show where Sally is out, so they get different secretaries in.
Uh-huh.
And the wife says, hey, honey, like, how's work? And he goes, we had a gum popper, a girdle snapper, and a giggler. Like, they each had some sort of sound that was bothering them.
Yeah. Oh, this was... I emailed HR and was like,
pop in your gum.
You've got to do something because I'm going to go crazy. She was like, why don't you just tell him to stop? I was like, because I'm not that person.
You're like, no, I'm going to throw a book at his face.
So she sent out a company-wide email reminding people to be courteous of sounds. And
please be aware.
He did not realize it was directed at him.
They never do.
I sent a follow-up email.
To him or to her?
To her. Okay. And then she sent a direct email to him saying, hey, this is about you.
When you're managing the resource that is humans, you have to be very direct sometimes.
Yep, a lot of times.
Other times, because somebody...
It was gum popping and drumming his fingers on the desk.
Hell.
And, like, drumming, like actual drumming,
yes.
Like how you would drum.
So this is funny. I was just at Company Cafe. It's my favorite restaurant in Dallas.
I love
fun
Company
fact.
Cafe.
And I was waiting for my friend to come join me for breakfast. And there was a table that was sat. And it was an elderly couple, maybe in their, not super elderly, they're in their 60s, 70s maybe, retirement age. And obviously their daughters. So two daughters, adult ages in their 30s. And one of the daughters' husbands.
Mm-hmm.
So the dad goes outside to make a phone call. The mom goes to the bathroom. The pregnant, I should have mentioned, the one with the husband is pregnant. Mm-hmm. Pregnant one leaves. So all that's left is brother-in-law and one of the sisters. They're playing Dreamweaver. This lady's
Dreamweaver or...
What's that?
Dream On.
Dream On. That's
okay,
one.
By Aerosmith?
Correct.
Yeah.
They're playing Dream On.
Dreamweaver is...
Dreamweaver.
Not that one. From...
Wayne's World,
yeah. Yes.
No, this is Dream On by Aerosmith.
Yeah, okay.
The restaurant, nobody else is
Who's
singing.
Who's playing it?
The restaurant just plays it overhead. Okay. The lady at the table, and this poor guy was just beat down, you could tell, but the sister starts singing, and she's an adult, she's in her 30s, and just starts being like, dream out, why? No one else in the restaurant is singing.
Was she being funny?
No, she was like,
honestly,
looking...
this kind of sounds like something I would do, but it would be like funny.
She was loudly and non-ironically singing, and then
that's not something I would do. It would be ironically.
Another song starts, and she started singing that one too. But then everybody comes back and sits at the table, and the mother, they had ordered the food, so they had all unfurled their silverware.
Mm-hmm.
When you unfurl your silverware, I don't put it on the
triggered
table.
Triggered.
When you unfurl your silverware, you put it on the side plate, or you don't unfurl it until the food's
come. I set it on the napkin.
Thank you. You can put it on the napkin. They had put it on the table. The mother proceeds to take the knife.
God.
Is lying. Yeah, you're covering your ears right now.
Oh my God. I'm literally like sweating and have tingles because
I don't even have mesothelioma and this upset me. It was just this like it's just the knife, the butter knife is sitting on the table and she's just taking the fork and just ding, 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 ding as she's talking. And I thought, well, I know why the daughter's a dumbass. Her mother is too. And me and my friend had a migraine that morning and had like woken up and taken medicine and was a champ and came out to meet me because we have our monthly breakfast and we didn't want to miss it. And we're just looking at each other like, what is wrong?
Oh my God.
And I just turned and I was like, Susan, I just decided her name was Susan. I was like, Susan, I'm going to take this fucking silverware away from you and just shove them up your ass. It was, just think for 2 seconds.
Was she dinging it on her cup?
She was dinging.
On her glass?
The fork was, the butter knife was laying supine on the table.
Got it.
And she had hoisted the fork up just barely and was ding. Ding, ding.
No.
For no reason. No reason.
Oh, my God. How long did it go on?
Far too long. What felt like hours, but mostly probably was
it would be all I could focus on in that moment.
Oh, it was.
And I would have nothing but hatred.
Kay
and
I couldn't
talk. It's nothing
talk.
I'm
we
proud
talk.
Of. It's not a... And it's like people get divorced over this.
Seriously.
They honestly like... can't spend time with their families. I read this whole article about this girl who's an adult now, but this started when she was 8 and she couldn't be around her family during dinner time because it was maddening. Yeah, it would drive her crazy.
Mastication, the chewing.
Yes, usually it's 90% of the time it's mouth noises. Mm. And so she would have to go to her bedroom and she felt so isolated and alienated. It's actually very sad.
Oh, definitely.
But people think you're just being an asshole and like
I wasn't being an asshole about it. Here. These people were
sure.
They were menaces.
That's insane. I thought you were going to say, that's bad. I thought you were going to say, and I have physically yanked silverware out of Tommy's hands before when he put a butter knife through the tines of the fork. Oh.
You look like you're going to vomit.
It's a thing. It's a thing. I'm a lot to handle. Tommy is a saint. But I don't even remember how this came up.
You're talking about you didn't want to hear your dog
because,
licking.
Yeah, because poor Nessie. What if Nessie has misophonia?
That's what she just wants to be down there and the sonar is just beeping her.
She's finally found a quiet place where she can just be herself. And then, then we all come along.
Hey, what are you doing down there?
And just try and ruin her peace and quiet.
Just leave me alone.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
This week we are talking about the Loch Ness Monster.
Nessie.
We actually had two people say after the White Rock machete one, how tough that was. Two people messaged us and said, if you guys want to do something lighthearted like Loch Ness, nobody will be mad about it.
We'll be cool. We wept openly in that episode.
And then I was like, that's actually kind of fun. It's a fun cryptid.
We've had a
Or is she? I don't know. Real. That's the thing with all cryptids. Are they real or are they not? Real.
Well, and in our Facebook Live Q&A for our Patreon, they asked what cryptid we want to meet. And that's true. Said Nessie. Yeah. Loch Ness Monster is my favorite cryptid. So thank you for indulging
me. She would be a really fun guest. And I imagine to me, she looks like a brontosaurus.
Definitely.
So, and
my favorite dinosaur is an apatosaurus.
Oh, which one's that?
She looks similar to a brontosaurus. It looks similar.
You know what? I think a brontosaurus isn't real. Today. Yes, that is what I do with Ella, not just on my own. And I think that dinosaur was on there. I think that was one that we're meeting. Yeah.
That's my favorite dinosaur.
Because I was like, this looks like a brontosaurus, but it's not a brontosaurus. Okay. Yeah, it was. It had like little bitty nubs on its head.
I think so.
Yeah.
It just looks like similar to a brontosaurus.
I think brontosaurus is my favorite.
Oh, yeah. It's a good one.
I like the little plant eaters. Littlefoot. Oh, yes. That movie's so good.
So I think this is a water Littlefoot.
Yes. Nessie. That's exactly what I imagine Nessie to look like, as a water, an aquatic Littlefoot, if you will.
All right. Well, where is she? Where's she located?
Let's get into it. Loch Ness, located in the Scottish Highlands, is the largest body of fresh water in Britain, holding more water in it than all the other lakes in England, Scotland, and Wales combined. A loch is the Irish, Scottish, and Gaelic word for lake or sea inlet.
Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that 1 in 4 honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
The Loch, fed by 7 major rivers, never freezes, as it contains over 16 million gallons of water with a surface area of 14,000 acres. For comparison, the New York borough of Manhattan is 14,600 acres.
So just a little bit bigger than New York City.
That's crazy.
It's a big lock.
It's a big one. No, it's a little bit smaller.
Sorry, slightly smaller.
Manhattan's slightly bigger than this.
You could hide a dinosaur in Manhattan. In fact,
wasn't that a movie?
Well, I'm just saying we should make a book called Dinosaur in Manhattan, and it's about a dinosaur that gets
Dinosaur's Day Out.
And it's so good. Danny and the Dinosaur was a good kid's book. We love that one.
Danny and the Dinosaur?
Yeah, Danny and the Dinosaur.
I don't remember that
one. He had one single dinosaur. I think it was a brontosaurus.
Oh, because they're the cutest. They seem like the sweetest and most mild mannered.
Probably the only one appropriate to hang out with a child, too.
Yeah. It'd be fun to slide down their neck.
That's what he did.
Oh, see? Gosh. I'm going to read that. I'm going to get it for Ella.
Get it.
Because of its great depth, the lock contains a thermocline at about 100 feet deep. A thermocline is a steep temperature gradient in a body of water, such as a lake, marked by a layer above and below in which the water is at different temperatures. So you could be swimming along, and then you dive down, and it gets significantly colder.
Or you swim through a warm spot, and you're like, am I at a pool on 4th of July?
Yeah. Sometimes, though, if you're really cold in a lake, like when I went to Lake Tahoe, that lake is deceptively cold.
Do you think it's haunted?
No, I think it's just really, it's fed by the glacier.
Oh, that's really cold. Yeah.
But what I was going to say is sometimes I would just pee to warm myself up.
I don't pee in lakes because I'm afraid of a thing swimming in my pee-pee hole. My urethra.
How would that work?
I read a thing that said that if you pee, it opens your urethra, which thusly leaves space for a parasite to swim upward.
Are you swimming naked?
Every time. No, I apparently can swim through your bathing suit. Bacteria.
So it attracts it?
I don't think it attracts it. I think by virtue of your pee hole being open, that bacteria.
If one happened to be swimming that way when you were peeing.
In Lake Tahoe. It goes up in your urethra.
Does not stay in Lake Tahoe. No, it goes up. Comes back to Dallas with you and is there for a long time.
Inside of your urethra.
Well, I was pregnant at the time. So honestly, I don't know if something swam up inside me or not. I don't think I would have been able to tell.
You pushed it out.
Because I already had something up inside me.
She's like, get out of here. We're full.
Maybe it was a little unlikely friendship.
Occupado.
Ella.
The baby and the parasite.
And the parasite.
When mommy gets her parasite.
And then when I had her, they both came out.
And they high-fived each other on the
way
out.
Yeah, yeah. That's how it's like when you release a pet alligator into the sewers. And that
free.
And it becomes a thing, which is also a thing in Manhattan.
Yes.
Also, a new movie coming out.
Gators in Manhattan?
No, it's, shit, what is the new one called? Where a crocodile's on the loose.
Crocodile
and there's like a big flood happening and it's killing everybody.
Is it scary or funny?
It's supposed to be one of those like Sharknado or Anaconda. Ooh, I went to the Dallas World Aquarium the other day.
How was it?
And I saw an anaconda.
What?
And those things are very scary.
How big was it?
Oh, it was wrapped around.
How does it not escape and kill people?
Well, they have it in a tank. It
doesn't matter.
Yeah. Have you seen Ice Cube movie? It didn't matter for him.
The John Voight movie?
It was wrapped around a bunch of stuff, so I'm not sure, but probably at least 12 to 15 feet, I would imagine.
Oh.
I think they caught one recently, the longest one they've ever killed, that was like 30 feet.
They killed it?
Yeah, because humans are assholes.
Yeah.
It was in Florida. My brother told me this, and it was eating other things.
Oh, that's
tough. I
think
it was in Everglades. I don't know. It's kind of survival of the fittest.
I guess so. If you're a Honda Fit can't survive an anaconda eating it, you probably need to have that car.
Yeah, then get something else. Well, because of a high peat content in the surrounding soil of the lock, visibility in the water is low. And with the deepest point in the lock being 755 feet, it is virtually impossible to see what might be lurking in the shadowy depths.
A perfect place to hide.
Mm. The first recorded report of a monster in Loch Ness dates all the way back to the 6th century AD. A book by a Domnan called Life of St. Columba is the tale of an Irish monk called St. Columba, who encountered locals burying a man beside the River Ness, a tributary that feeds into the loch. When St. Columba asked what happened to the man, the locals explained that while swimming in the river, he was attacked by a water beast that mauled him and dragged him beneath the water's surface.
He got taken by a water beast.
The locals tried to rescue the man, but by the time they reached him, he was dead. When St. Columba sent a companion into the water to investigate, the beast showed itself.
I'm sorry.
First of all.
Like bait?
do that. Do your own dirty work. Don't send somebody in.
Go down there and see if you can find the beast. It's like, I don't want to.
I know you're a saint and all, but I am not doing that. That is not happening.
I'm going to be eaten. Go down there.
Saint Columba made the sign of the cross and said,
"Go no further. Do not touch the man. Go back at once."
The beast slunk back beneath the water. The locals thanked Saint Columba and praised the incident as a miracle. Nobody thanked this guy that went into the water, died.
I'm still here. I'm still hanging on.
In 1871, a man named D. McKenzie of Balnain allegedly saw a log-shaped object wriggling and churning up the water. However, it wasn't until the 1930s, when interest in the monster increased, that McKenzie wrote about this event in a letter to a friend. Well, that's convenient, isn't it?
He's like, I once saw something as well, and I'm going to memorialize it.
I'm going to make sure I write this down so everyone knows it really happened.
It's like someone marking themselves safe on Facebook when they weren't even nearby.
Yeah, it's like...
You weren't even...
Okay.
We weren't concerned.
We don't live anywhere near that city, so... Interest in the monster spiked significantly after May 2nd, 1933, when the Inverness Courier published the account of a couple who claimed to see a, quote, enormous animal rolling and plunging on the surface earlier in April. The newspaper was the first to call the creature a monster and arguably start the media sensation.
This is a legitimate newspaper, in theory. Up in the ranks with the National Enquirer, you know, publishing the truth, getting the truth out there.
They're the paper.
The paper.
Is this the British National Enquirer?
I think it is.
Newspapers from London sent correspondents to Scotland to investigate and even prompted a circus to offer a £20,000 sterling reward, about $480,000 in today's U.S. dollars, for its capture.
So they were not playing around. This is 1933. They were given £20,000.
I think back then, it's not just a National Enquirer story. This is something people are legitimately scared about.
And they couldn't prove it or disprove it, so they just believed it. They read it in the newspaper.
It was a different time.
I think so.
Later that year, July 22nd, 1933, a man named George Spicer and his wife saw a most extraordinary form of animal cross the road in front of their car. A bridge recently opened earlier that year, leading more traffic to the area and thus more sightings. Spicer and his wife described the creature being about 4 feet high and 25 feet long, with a long, wavy, narrow neck, slightly thicker than an elephant's trunk, and as long as the 10 to 12 foot width of the road. So it sounds like a brontosaurus.
I think we found a brontosaurus.
That fall, in November of 1933, a man named Hugh Gray supposedly photographed the creature. Although the original negative was lost, the grainy photograph captured the same creature allegedly seen by the Spicers.
So I think he took the photo and then they saw it and said, yeah, that's the same thing.
That's what we saw.
Can you zoom in? And he said, I've lost the negative.
Yeah, conveniently.
Interesting.
Gray's photo was the first taken of the monster, and local newspapers were chomping at the bit for the picture. After being published in the Daily Express, a frenzy ensued, prompting the Secretary of State for Scotland to issue an order for police to prevent any attacks on the mysterious beast.
Well, that's good. I like this. They want to protect Nessie.
Americans would be like, give you 50 bucks if anybody bring me this thing's head.
Bring me the head on a platter.
We're going to barbecue it, eat it, and then mount it on our wall.
I want to taste that meat.
They were respectful of this creature. Yes, they just wanted to make sure it was safe and kept out of harm's way.
Definitely. You want to keep all the interlopers from out of town coming in and killing their majestic beasts.
I respect that. Skeptics of this photo have pointed to the fact that Gray's dog was with him on that day, and that perhaps the grainy image actually showed the pup fetching a stick from the lock.
I think I know the difference between a dog and a dinosaur. Do you?
I think, though, because it was such an odd perspective of the photo, they think the dog's head was, like, the way it was positioned looked like the head of Nessie. Others allege that when enhanced, the photo shows nothing more than an otter rolling around on the surface of the lake.
Again, I know the difference between a dino and an otter.
Did they in the 1930s?
Maybe not. Maybe they didn't know.
I've always thought otters were cute. And then my friend Melanie told me.
Don't ruin otters.
Okay, I won't tell you.
Wait, no, now I want to know. All I can think.
Might ruin it. The male otters forcibly make the female otters have sex with them.
Oh, my God.
And they, like, hold them underwater.
Oh, my God.
I know. I posted something on Instagram. This was years ago about how cute otters was. And she DM'd me. She's like, every time somebody says an otter's cute, I have to tell them that this is what they did.
She's an otter truther.
I guess so. Yeah.
What you don't know about your otter just may shock you.
And they always show that some insurance commercial where the otter's doing little crunches and he's like 99, 100. And he's on his back doing his little crunches. He's holding otter hands with the, they hold hands so they don't float away from each other.
I know. I thought that was so cute.
They have a dark side.
God, I thought they held hands because they loved each other.
I think they do. And so they don't float away. And so they're not by themselves.
That's really sad.
I know. It's upsetting. I'm sorry. I feel like
I'm sorry, everybody. Upset you.
This is your.
Now I have to throw away my otter beanie baby.
Oh, no, don't. They're probably worth something.
Hell yeah. I'm going to be rich.
In 1934, a veterinary student named Arthur Grant was on a late night motorcycle ride across the lock. At approximately 1 a.m., Grant claims he accidentally hit the creature. That's got to be shocking.
Briefly fell off my motorcycle going about 10 miles an hour. I can't imagine hitting a dinosaur.
Yeah.
I'm just calling Nessie a dinosaur. I've just decided. My theory is that she's a dinosaur, and we'll get into my theory at the end when you say, what do we think?
Today, I Googled what constitutes a dinosaur.
Oh, what does?
I'm glad that you didn't think it was dumb.
No, it's great. I want to know.
Because I was watching Dinosaur Train and I thought, why are they all called dinosaurs?
It's a great question.
We call all fish fish, even though some might not be technically fish. But
is it like pornography when they say, I'll know it when I see it? It's a dinosaur. I can't define a dinosaur, but I know it when I see it.
It is specific. Well, first of all dinosaurs are reptilian.
Okay, I agree.
And they are all from the Mesozoic era.
Okay.
And traditionally,
what about
like,
Jurassic Park?
That's the Jurassic era. But that came, I think Mesozoic era came first. So they were all in the Mesozoic era. And then the Jurassic era was next. We're probably going to get a lot.
Please don't DM us. We'll look at Wikipedia
I'll
afterwards.
Just watch Jurassic Park. Because on Dinosaur Train, I'm talking a lot about this PBS kids show, but they take the Dinosaur Train allows them to time travel to different dinosaur eras.
I love it.
Yeah, it's actually very interesting. And so today it was all about Pangea.
Oh, I was so into Pangea as a kid.
Very interesting. Yeah.
I love the idea of Pangea.
They all went back and
saw
what
it was like. Where they give you the map when you're a kid and you cut it up and then you glue the pieces all back together?
They went back to when it was Pangea before everything had split.
What a stupid thing for me to say. I was very into Pangea as a kid. I was, though. I don't know how else
Pangea,
to say it.
No, I think I was, too. I remember Pangea sticks with me.
It's fascinating.
I've made several Pangea jokes in improv shows. I'm a big fan of Pangea. Pangea, like, it's a fun word to say.
Step out to the lip of the stage just so you all know what Pangea was. I just want you to know. Yeah. You
and
rubes.
Nobody laughs, so I have to go and explain it. I break the fourth wall and explain to everyone why that was funny.
So this guy ran into a dinosaur with his motorcycle.
Allegedly.
Okay.
Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Well, Grant's description matched that of the Spicers. The creature had a long neck with a small head on the end of it. When asked to describe it more specifically, Grant said it was a cross between a seal and a pliosaur, a type of Mesozoic marine reptile. That's what a dinosaur is.
I suppose if he's a veterinary student, he would know.
Maybe.
Dinosaurs.
When Grant stepped off his motorcycle to get a closer look, he saw the beast sink beneath the surface, leaving only ripples behind.
So he hit it and it jumped back in the lake.
Here's my thing. I don't think this guy hit anything because you would have...
You fly off the motorcycle.
You would have fucked up your motorcycle and probably been injured. If you hit a dog on a motorcycle, that's going to cause some problems.
That'd
if you
so
hit
sad.
A freaking dinosaur,
you it's like hitting
I don't
a wall.
Think you live to tell the tale.
Yeah, it'd be like hitting a wall.
Yeah,
maybe,
it's like if
maybe
you hit a cow in your car That's a game. That's like a game ender a lot of times.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah.
I think maybe he bumped over the tail.
Oh, like a speed bump.
Speed bump style. It's not fun to go over speed bump on a motorcycle, I will say, but it can be done.
Those speed humps down Highland.
You're talking about city titties or the speed bumps?
No, they're speed humps that are those giant humps.
Oh, that'll take your car out.
I hate them because they don't ever have signs and then they just you're upon them and
they sneak up on
you. You're like, oh, it's so jarring. I'm going to hit this and I'm going too fast.
Oh, and you can take your like suspension out. Yeah. I had a blowout on a city titty maybe like 3 or 4 years ago. And if, for those of you who don't know, city titty is like a metal bump in the road that usually is to delineate between a going straight lane and a turn in left lane. And it's just to force you to get far enough over to the left to make a left turn. And there are these like little humps in the road.
We call them city titties.
I call them city titties. They're huge though, and they can really eat a hole in your tire. So I don't know. I wouldn't want to hit a city titty or a road hump on a motorcycle, much less a dinosaur.
No, I'd never want to hit a dinosaur for lots of reasons. Well, G.E. Taylor, a tourist from South Africa, was lucky enough to have his movie camera out when he was visiting Loch Ness on May 29th, 1938. Upon seeing something moving in the water, Taylor turned the camera on and captured a full 3-minute film of the monster on 16mm color film.
This is like the Zapruder film of Loch Ness.
Yeah. However, Maurice Burton, a British zoologist, popular science author, and well-known Nessie skeptic, obtained the film and concluded that the monster in the film was nothing more than a floating object.
A floating monster.
And we really need Oliver Stone to come in and make some sense of this for us. We need a 4-hour breakdown on this film. If we don't get it, I mean, this, I feel like we've unlocked how we can really get to the bottom of this.
Why wouldn't like other places around the world have live stream cameras? Can you just do that? Maybe she's shy.
Set it up?
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
Loch Ness should do it.
Oh, like
well, government funded. Yeah. Although they spent a lot of money already.
There is a whole organization to protect the Loch / Nessie information. And I think that they do have cameras. I know there's Nessie watching parties and all sorts of stuff.
Worldcam.tv has a Nessie Live.
So we can watch right now?
But it's really just a wide shot. You wouldn't see it if she popped
there's
up.
There's someone in this world that is glued to that 24/7, just hoping above
someday.
All hopes that something pops its head out of the water. And if it does, it's probably an otter holding down another female otter beneath the water and having its way with her.
Like I captured something on film. This must be destroyed. People can't know the truth about otters.
Well, perhaps one of the best known photographs of the beast of Loch Ness was taken by a London gynecologist named Dr. Robert Kenneth Wilson. Dr. Wilson's photo was published in the Daily Mail in April of 1934. At the time, Dr. Wilson did not want his name associated with the photos, leading the photos to be referred to as the surgeon's photographs.
He's taking pictures of something else for a change. I guess you don't take a picture if you're a gynecologist. Maybe for science.
You shouldn't.
For science. Yeah, those pictures in the science books get there somehow.
That was, I always think about the hand that rocks the cradle whenever I think of creepy gynecologists. Oh, who was in it? So many people right now are saying this, the girl's name. I can't think of her name. Rebecca De Mornay.
Oh, yes.
She was...
That was the lady's name that came from the homeless shelter in Seinfeld when she complained about the muffin stumps.
Rebecca De Mornay?
She goes, I'm Rebecca De Mornay from the homeless shelter. I caught that last night when I was watching
Do they comment on how also celebrities? Uh-uh. Oh, that's funny. Anyway, she is married to a gynecologist, and he is doing unsavory things with his clients.
Is that what that whole movie's about?
Well, one of the women that he sexually assaults sues him, and he loses his license and everything. And Rebecca De Mornay and him, it causes a whole thing. Where Rebecca De Mornay is so bitter and wants revenge that she becomes the nanny of this woman. And unbeknownst to her, she's the wife of this doctor.
Oh, no.
And tries to get her husband to, she does try to kill her and get her husband to cheat on her. She also is crazy with this baby and like
So it's like, who's really watching like your child? Breastfeeding
it. Yeah, it's a weird. Yeah, it's a whole thing. It's. I think it came out in the mid 90s.
Oh,
it's kind of creepy. I don't know if it holds up. I haven't seen it in a really long time. There's some other crap, fucked up stuff that goes on.
What was you say? That seems like the most intimate thing is to have someone like watch your child and then it goes wrong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I had a gynecologist.
Or to be spread eagle on a gynecology table and something go wrong.
And the gynecologist makes a joke because I have an Abraham Lincoln tattoo. And he made a joke regarding my pubic hair having to do with Abraham Lincoln. And I was laid out there. And
what was the joke? If you're comfortable telling it.
If I can remember properly, because I was pretty shocked at the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, if you're pantsless, they can see your tattoos. Sure. So you can see my right side. I have a pretty large Abraham. It's probably a little bit larger than a hand. Abraham Lincoln tattoo. And then he goes to the nether bits and sees what shape my pubic hair is in, which is.
Was it a top hat?
I had a tiny top hat. No, it was, you know, well-groomed with like a sort of a tuft that I believe the gynecologist mistook or considered similar to Abraham Lincoln's chin.
Okay.
I was like, I see you're inspired by Abraham Lincoln more than one way.
Wow. I think we've heard this, but I think you've told this on another episode.
He said something to
maybe
that effect.
Maybe Slender Man?
Maybe, because I thought we made some joke about me wearing a tiny top hat down my pants.
Yes, yeah. Well, I hope that was the last time you saw him.
I have a new gynecologist now.
Good for you.
Dr. Gunderson. She's amazing.
You know what? She sounds great.
She's amazing.
I don't know anything about her, but she sounds great.
She's made zero jokes about
my
tattoo.
Then she's already better than this last guy.
And said my cervix was gorgeous. So.
Well, then she has two gold stars in her box.
Strikes. Or not strikes, but she has two.
The opposite of strikes.
Exactly. Well, strikes in a good way, like if you were a pitcher in baseball and you wanted to strikes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, or bowling. That's weird. Some things it's good. Some things it's
sometimes
bad.
Sometimes strikes are great.
Yeah. All depends on how you look at it. According to Dr. Wilson, he was looking at the lock when he saw the monster begin to emerge. He then grabbed his camera and attempted to snap 4 photos in quick succession. 2 of the 4 exposures came out properly. The first shows the beast's head and back, and the second shows the head in a diving position. The second photo was less regarding, as it was blurrier than the first, but the first photo is what served as evidence to believers that the monster had finally been caught on camera. However, many have dismissed this photo due to its blurriness as well and claim the photographed animal was an elephant, an otter, or merely a bird.
I think it's still impressive there's an elephant in the lake.
How often? Well, we'll get into theories as to why that might be because it is a very interesting theory.
I think so.
One major issue with Wilson's photo is cropping. The cropped version makes the creature's head seem much larger, like the long neck described by the Spicers. But in the 1990s, experts studied the photograph and the negative. They determined that, in fact, when not cropped, the photo depicted an item that was only about 2 to 3 feet long.
Oh, so suddenly it's the...
This was before Photoshop.
So all they could do was crop it or get closer, zoom in, zoom out.
In 1999, a book titled Nessie, The Surgeon's Photograph Exposed, claimed to reveal the true story of the photo. In December of 1933, the Daily Mail commissioned Marmaduke Wetherell.
That's such a good name.
So great. You can't make that up. A big game hunter to find the giant sea serpent. Upon finding what he was certain were footprints of Nessie, Wetherell excitedly shipped them off to zoologists at the Natural History Museum for analysis. After examining the prints, the scientists determined they actually belonged to a hippopotamus.
Whoa.
And not even a real hippopotamus.
Oh, Marmaduke.
A clever prankster, hoping someone like Wetherell would fall for their trap, had used a hippopotamus foot umbrella stand to make the prints.
Oh, you've seen those in like 1930s movies where, I hope it's not real, but a lot of times it probably was. The foot of a hippopotamus, and they've turned it into a planter-esque thing.
Yeah, 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 exactly, yes.
It wouldn't be that hard.
Seems like it would be heavy and
to carry around.
Yeah.
And wouldn't your footprints be around it? Anyway, it sounds like Marmaduke got one pulled over on
him. Yeah, that's a good point. Why would your footprints be around it? Maybe.
Or if there's one set of footprints, it's when Jesus carried it.
Yeah, maybe he was wearing... Maybe he stilted it.
Oh, maybe. Like, or he had one foot in and one foot out.
Yeah, just like
I'm going to go to bed tonight
me
thinking.
Me and most of my previous relationships.
He got one foot in and one foot out.
Not Tommy.
No, you're all in on Tommy. Oh, yeah. I'm probably going to go to bed tonight thinking about how he did that.
Yeah, yeah, no.
The logistics of faking a Nessie footprint.
Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Wetherell's proof was revealed to be nothing more than a hoax, leading great scorn and ridicule to rain down upon him.
Poor Marmaduke.
Hell-bent on exacting revenge against the Daily Mail for reporting his embarrassing mistake, Wetherell enlisted his son-in-law's help to aid in the revenge plot. His son-in-law modified a toy submarine he bought at Woolworths by using wood putty to make and attach a fake head, which he then affixed to the periscope of the submarine. Wetherell's son, Ian, and another friend, Maurice Chambers, also assisted in the plot.
You think he got banned from the Woolworths? He banned from all the Woolworths or just the one location?
I don't know. This seems, I mean, any publicity is good publicity. This is also the picture that is the classic picture that most people have seen, the black and white image with what looks like a brontosaurus's neck sticking out over the water and everything. Mm-hmm. So this is that image, if you're wondering what we're talking about.
Yes,
one we'll quick Google search, you'll be like, oh yeah, I've seen that a million times.
Surgeon's photograph. And we'll put it on Instagram and everything. Yeah. It looks very convincing. Imagine if it's 19, what year was it?
Back then, I think people would have been convinced.
The 1930s? Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
there's
for
a
sure.
dang monster in that lock.
People would have been real scared. Well, supposedly the men took the submarine to Loch Ness and set it adrift just offshore. They then took several photographs. When a water bailiff, which is basically a lock cop, approached, Marmaduke became nervous and stomped on the model with his foot in order to sink it and hide the evidence.
I don't know why this visual is just so funny to me that he's like, smash it before they can see.
He's got this big old submarine. He's just smashing with his foot. Also, I love that there are lock cops.
Yes.
They Scots take this very seriously.
He just walks around whistling, swinging his baton.
Making sure nothing unsavory is going on.
You got to protect Nessie.
Yeah. Oh,
at all costs.
She has bodyguards.
Basically.
The story goes that Dr. Wilson was friends with the men, and when they told him of the practical joke, he agreed to sell the photos to the Daily Mail. So it was all a big conspiracy.
He was in on the prank.
It was him the whole time.
He was in on the prank.
As technology advanced, so did the purported evidence of Nessie. In December of 1954, Captain Donald McLean and First Mate Peter Anderson were on their fishing boat, the Rival 3, which contained sonar technology.
His name is Don McLean. He went on to write American Pie.
Yeah, he was so fed up with this Scottish bullshit.
He moved back home.
He wrote one of the greatest 8-minute classics
such
that
a good one.
The 70s ever saw. Such a good song.
He's like, I'm not going to the lock anymore. I'm going to drive my Chevy to the levee. And then he's like, it was dry. The levee was dry.
Oh, that song, when it comes on.
It's a good jam.
You stop down for 8 minutes and just
to.
Rock the fuck out.
Oh, you got
if
to.
If you don't, then you're not American. Then you should move over across the
you
pond.
You hate freedom, clearly.
That's very much so. Well, at a depth of 479 feet, the men noted a large object that kept pace with the boat for about 2,600 feet before the crew lost contact.
So it wasn't just some sort of log floating.
Mm,
it was more like a dinosaur
maybe.
Swimming. Interesting.
Throughout the 1960s, several universities sent boats of researchers out to utilize sonar technology and find Nessie once and for all. Although nothing definitive came from their expeditions, the students detected, quote, large moving underwater objects. Well, that's what you're going to find in a lake, probably.
Explain what objects are moving on their own.
What?
There's, if it's an, a log, it's going to maybe be like kind of floating.
Well, there's another theory about logs that I think is pretty solid that we'll get to.
I have
also
the best theory of all. It's fine. I'm saving
that
it
it's
for
a
the
dinosaur.
End. No, I it's hate just not just
gonna,
like that.
I'm going to blow that theory out of the water.
There's no way.
Intended,
you but don't have my theory. You don't know.
Okay. Well, because a lot of people have said it's a dinosaur, it's a, the Pliosaurus, and many experts have come out saying there's absolutely no way it could be because they could not have survived in that cold of water. They also, the timelines of when they existed wouldn't have matched up for it to still be a thing.
My, that still leaves room for my theory.
Okay, good. I
I'll
can't,
save it.
Can't
we'll save
wait
it.
To hear it. In 1975, television and newspapers began reporting that scientists from MIT had actually captured photos of Nessie.
And very briefly, 1975, it was still reasonable and rational to hunt the Loch Ness Monster. It yeah. wasn't, you weren't a kook, except for Marmaduke. You weren't old Marmaduke.
Marmaduke kook.
Had been revealed as an idiot because of the whole elephant from the hippopotamus foot situation. Yeah. But at this point, university researchers are out
MIT.
There. MIT was sending
That's
people out there.
A very
prestigious.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. One of the most
well-respected.
Very.
Absolutely. So at this point in time, it was a legit thing to be pursuing.
Incredible. Well, this expedition produced photographs that appeared to show the head, neck, and flipper of a giant animal in Loch Ness. Upon seeing the photos, Dr. George Zug, curator of reptiles and amphibians at the Smithsonian Institution, said,
"I believe these data indicate the presence of large animals in Loch Ness, but are insufficient to identify them."
So here's the thing.
Dr. Zug is a DC comic villain.
He sounded very intense. So all these expeditions keep happening, and it's the same conclusion every time. Something's down there. We just don't know what it is. Could be anything.
I know
which
what it is.
Is like we've spent so much money and time to where we didn't really find anything out that we didn't already know.
Well, I think Dr. Zug nails it. There is something there. We just don't know what it is yet.
I know what your theory is.
Don't say
I'm
it.
I'm not gonna spoil
I want you
it.
At the end you can guess it and they'll tell you if you're right
okay,
or not.
Okay. Well, the Skeptical Inquirer published a critique of the photos, claiming they were fully forged.
Oh, they would.
The Skeptical Inquirer.
Yeah,
it's
they're
in
not,
their name.
They're not
gonna
called
be,
the Reasonable Society.
Yes, they're not going to support you.
No.
Well, after that, legitimate scientists were hesitant to pursue the search for Nessie. Well, MIT fucked it up for everybody.
Pretty much.
To get a more thorough scan of the lock, in 1987, 24 boats were deployed across the entire width of the lock. Although the scientists made sonar contacts with a large unidentified object of unusual size and length, they were unable to gather any definitive evidence. Well, where it's the same song and dance. This week-long project cost about £1 million.
This is getting expensive.
It's getting a little ridiculous.
Leave her alone.
Later, the scientists returned to the area where the large object was seen to rescan in hopes of gathering more evidence. Rather than discover Nessie as they hoped, they saw what appeared to be moving debris or possibly some seals who got into the lock.
This all plays into my theory. It all makes sense. You guys, at the end, it's going to click like a
black
puzzle
hole.
Piece. It's not a black hole.
Okay. Well, however, not everyone was convinced. The man who donated several of the sonar units used during the expedition, Daryl Lawrence, still maintained that the machines had detected something. Specifically, Lawrence believed the object captured on sonar near Urquhart Bay, about 600 feet below the surface, was significant. He said,
"There's something that we don't understand. There's something here that's larger than a fish. Maybe some species that hasn't been detected before. I don't know."
Everyone is saying the same things, just in different ways.
I love that this man is such a believer. He donated several sonar units.
He just had sonar
Take
units em. Lying around.
Take
Probably em. For this purpose. All he just, every weekend, his wife's like,
"He's out in the garage.
Do you think this could be the weekend that you have dinner with us and spend time with your kids? What are these sonars going to go hunt Nessie by themselves? No. You know,
Daryl,
I got to get down to the lock.
Daryl, your son's growing up without you."
So is Nessie. In 1993. Okay. So now this is like the early 90s. Mm-hmm. This is still like well-esteemed people are still searching for this creature.
Well-esteemed? What happened in 1993?
What?
I was just going to say, keep bringing so safe. Oh. Discovery Channel? Not so much.
You don't like the Discovery Channel?
They lied to me, okay?
Oh, is this about the Megalodon?
Yes, forever. I don't trust them. They're not a legitimate scientific news source. They made me think that megalodons were real.
They wanted you to discover it on your own.
And then on my birthday, Pam Welch fake. Had to tell me she's a wonderful woman, a kind, gentle soul, and a loving mother. And she had to say, honey, no, that is a television show. And I said, no, I know it's a documentary. On my birthday, I skipped oil and gas class to go drink margaritas at Banditos. And I sat at Banditos with a sad margarita. Instead of celebrating, I had to mourn the loss of the megalodon all over again. Wow.
Ironically, dinosaurs give you oil and gas.
How ironic.
So maybe if you hadn't skipped it, they would have covered this that day.
They would have been like, it's actually dinosaur bones you're putting in your car. Fun fact.
Well, in 1993, the Discovery Channel began investigating the life inside the lock, not necessarily the monster alone. Okay, this is what I feel like we should have been doing much earlier than this.
The whole time.
Well, their research indicated that the previous understanding of wildlife in the lock was grossly underestimated by about 9 times.
They thought there were so many fish, and it turns out it was just a shitload more.
Because all they've been concentrating on is this one maybe creature. Everything else is getting it's like
there's a bunch of debris. It's like we're fish down here.
we're people too.
We live here.
We're interesting. Does anybody want to talk to
Shut
us?
Up. Get out of the way, log.
I'm not a log. I have eyes. I'm swimming around.
I have a family.
Oh, do you want to meet them? They're right down here under this log. You can see what an actual log looks
Shoot
like.
Shoot them with a sonar beam.
Oh God,
my children.
Well, on their program, Loch Ness Discovered, they revealed that there was an underwater disturbance caught on sonar that indicated 3 sonar contacts followed by a powerful wake, indicating some type of large movement underwater.
Interesting.
They're still finding out the same stuff, though.
That's still pointing to my theory.
The BBC also sponsored an extensive search of the loch in 2003, utilizing 600 separate sonar beams coupled with satellite tracking.
This is what Nancy McKinney would call, they got more money than they got sense.
She's not wrong. After the entire lock was searched, the BBC researchers concluded there was no animal of any significant size.
Lies. Fake news.
Based on this, they concluded that Nessie was only a myth.
Fake news.
Well,
fake
I'm glad
news.
In 2003, with just 600 sonar beams and satellite tracking, they were able to finally determine that.
Liars. They don't know.
Atlantis. That's my second guess for what you're thinking.
Not Atlantis.
Or an Atlantis-like situation.
Scenario.
Because Atlantis, we all know, is not in the Loch Ness.
But we could have. It's beneath the Bermuda Triangle. Mm-hmm.
Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step 1. Go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step 2. Collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step 3. Play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games. All for free?
Step 4. Unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With major networks like Discovery Channel and the BBC involved in the search for Nessie, the Scottish Natural Heritage, a government-funded body in Scotland, decided it was critical to devise a code of practice to determine what the government would do if Nessie was ever discovered or captured.
This is your taxpayer dollars at work, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep. Step 1 after Nessie is discovered is to take a DNA sample. Step 2 is that Nessie should be released back into the lock. Most importantly, the code of practice declares that Nessie should be protected from harm above all else, which I love this.
I agree. I love it.
It's They're not like, kill it. We're going to find out as much as we can. And then we're going to forget open. This ever happened. And it didn't really change anything for the better.
Nope. I think it's very respectful, but also appreciates the scientific. What's the word I'm looking for? Something matters.
When something matters?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Honestly, I'm real. The whole time you were talking, I was thinking about
how they would catch her and how sad she would probably be. And it would be a very E.T.-like situation. I started to get upset thinking about aquatic little foot, like in a giant net, like flailing about trying to get out.
Significance. The word was significance.
And they're trying to just like get DNA. What are they going to do? Swab her mouth? It's like an ancestry.
Excuse me, can you spit into this cup? Could you spit into this tube?
She's like, no, I don't spit. I'm a lady. Well, in 2018, okay, this was very recent.
Still going on.
Scientists began to gather DNA from the loch from depths of up to 656 feet deep, prompting Scotland's first minister, Nicola Sturgeon, to say that she believes there is a monster. This sounds like something our president would say. And when I don't even like calling him our president, the president, because he is not my president.
Not my president.
The results are expected to reveal unknown species of bacteria and salmon previously undiscovered in the loch. And samples are currently being tested across the world at laboratories in New Zealand, Australia, Denmark, and France to be analyzed against a genetic database. Maybe they would have discovered all these had they been paying attention to all these sad little fish in the first place.
In the first place.
Ultimately, the DNA could prove the existence of Nessie by showing any reptilian DNA in the loch, which would point to the existence of a Nessie-like creature. Professor Gimmel, a scientist working on the project, added,
"There's an idea that an ancient Jurassic-age reptile might be in Loch Ness. If we find any reptilian DNA sequences in Loch Ness, that would be surprising and would be very, very interesting."
He was Australian, so
yeah, I like that.
I mean, in real life.
Oh, he is. Yeah, okay, okay. I thought you just made a creative decision, and no, I liked it.
I was trying to be realistic. I like it.
That's not a Nessie. That's a Nessie.
I don't know if that would be a good joke, but I'm glad I said it.
Oh, I think it was a very good joke. Oh, well, if a giant prehistoric long-necked creature isn't lurking in the watery depths of the loch,
it is.
Then what are eyewitnesses that claim they've spotted the monster actually seeing? According to Ronald Benz, former member of the Loch Ness Phenomena Investigation Bureau, yes, that is a thing.
I want to join that so bad. Yeah. I want to join it so hard.
And author of The Loch Ness Mystery Solved and The Loch Ness Mystery Reloaded.
You already solved it. How do you get this reloaded?
It's got to reload it. It sounds very Fast and the Furious franchise. It's
two loch, two monster. Come on.
Well, Ben says an aspect of the human psyche is the ability for the eye to see what it wants and expects to see.
Well, we talked about this when trying to see things in the dark, you try to make a sense of something.
Your brain wants to, it runs on facial recognition.
Correct.
So if it doesn't know what it's seeing, it tries to make it out.
Force.
This also happened to me last night when I was trying to find my cell phone.
Oh, no.
Girl. I thought I was never going to find my cell phone again in my own bedroom. I was like, well, the house is haunted. Somebody came in and stole it.
What happened?
It was in the bed, but
that's happened.
I made Tommy get out of bed. I was like, can you come help me find the phone? I cannot find it anywhere. We looked everywhere, all over the house, rooms I hadn't even gone in. I was like, I feel like it's in the bed, but I kept pulling back the covers. And then I pulled back the covers and I was like, oh, there it is. And then I looked, I was like, oh, that's not it. But my brain was convinced it was in the covers. So, and my eyes made that connection that I really had seen it when it was just a shadow. Yeah.
Oh, it was a shadow the whole time.
Mm, but then it really was in the covers just further down. I had to strip the whole bed down and found it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But when I found it, I go, this is just like Loch Ness. And he was like, what?
You're like, listen to the episode, babe.
Yeah, you'll find out.
You'll know.
Well, it is quite possible that those hoping to spot Nessie and viewing the loch through the lens of monster hunting have misidentified other known animals like otters or birds. This could even happen with mundane objects like trees and logs.
When I got my dog, the Chihuahua, Lucy, the goose,
yeah,
my aunt saw her in the backyard, and I thought that she'd seen a squirrel because my aunt was elderly at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I came over, and then I shockingly said, oh, there's a dog back there. And my aunt said, do you think I didn't know the difference between a dog and a squirrel? I'm old. I'm not senile, damn it.
This is how you feel about people mistaking trees and a dinosaur.
We need to be respectful of the Nessie spotters, people that have seen her. Mm. They know the difference between a tree.
Don't gaslight them. Don't call them liars.
They know the difference between a tree and a dinosaur.
Well, listen to this, though, because I think this is a very strong theory. In a 1982 series of articles for New Scientist, Maurice Burton proposed that fermenting Scots pine logs could be responsible for all the Nessie sightings.
I'm sorry, is this Maurice Burton who we previously introduced as Nessie Skeptic? That's his job title?
But he has a very good point.
A British zoologist, popular science author, and well-known Nessie skeptic. We put it in his name.
He's also a popular zoologist. Well, these decomposing logs sit beneath the surface of the log, unable to release gases caused by decay because of its high resin level. Eventually, gas pressure ruptures a resin seal in the end of the log, propelling it through the water and off into the surface.
I've been there.
All of these things.
I stood in a pool on 4th of July and double-fisted ciders for like 5 hours.
Nice.
You're describing my life right now.
Well, according to Burton, the shape of these logs with their stumps and outstretched branches closely resembles descriptions of the monster. So I think people are looking for Nessie. They're looking out over the lock. She's rolling her eyes so hard right now. And then one of these logs shoots up out of the water, and it looks like a dinosaur breaking the surface of the water, and its head might look like a little outstretched thing. And if you, or you're seeing what you want to see because you're wanting to see a monster, so then your brain makes that connection, I think this is a solid theory.
I think I can explain this as part of my theory.
This is part of your theory?
I think the logs can be, they can be included.
Okay, okay. Well, in 2006, paleontologist and artist Neil Clark suggested that what people were actually seeing were elephants from traveling circuses bathing in the loch. This explanation is often cited for explaining the surgeon's photograph. I think this is also very interesting.
Wouldn't the circus be around?
Well, they're traveling. So
they left the elephants behind to take a bath?
Sometimes maybe they wanted to go on holiday.
You would have seen a clown. That's what the Brits call,
or the Scots call, vacation.
Go on holiday. What, I would think you would see clowns or monkeys or something else that's in the circus.
I hope you don't see clowns. That's a whole other episode. The clown of lockdown.
Oh, God. It pops out from between behind a bush. Speaking, I'm looking for a monster, too.
I cannot begin to tell you how good season 3 of Love Island is.
Is it? Are there Scots on Love Island?
There is one, and she is a national treasure.
Love it. What's her name?
Camilla. I cried for her and with her today. Oh, like, I honestly out loud, I went, oh, Camilla. Because it was so, like, she is, and I get so many DMs all the time. It's like, don't you just love Camilla? Yes. I want to go on record saying I absolutely do love Camilla.
I love it.
But honestly, I was crying. I was laughing so hard today at this episode because they are legitimately funny people.
Oh, good.
They all, not all of them, but a lot of them have just like, they remind me of if we were hanging out with a bunch of improvisers.
Yeah.
And they're just like very dry and sarcastic and funny. This is a really good season.
Oh, good.
Skip season 2. Although I will say, the amount of gratuitous sex that happens in season 2.
Arr.
Yeah. I knew. I was like, nice. Heather just wants to watch season 2.
Watch people bring in.
It is wild. Like, it's crazy. It's not, I haven't seen anybody have sex on this season yet. And I'm like 20 episodes in.
20 episodes and no banging?
They're more, because it's also crazy the difference in just everything, really, from 2015 to 2017. Mm-hmm. But specifically the women on the show and just like the topics that are discussed. Mm-hmm. And what they're willing to put up with and what they're willing not to put up with.
Wow.
It's so, yeah, I don't know if maybe that's the thing, but the amount of sex in season 2 is staggering.
Wow.
Season 3, somebody did have sex, but, and they kind of showed it, but that's the only one person. A couple people have had sex, but it hasn't been like a lot.
It's more focused on the talking and relationships.
Because there's actual like good content happening in this.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's what you hope
for. And also, I want to just thank all of our listeners that watch Love Island and DM me their opinions and updates, because it is very fun for me to talk about
to dish about it. I always feel bad if I'm the one answering the Instagram DMs for the show and I'm just like, I'll save this for Christy.
Oh, I love it. Please don't stop.
I'll flag them for you.
Thank you. In 2013, Jeremy Wade, zoologist and host of the TV show River Monsters, concluded that Nessie is a Greenland shark.
He's an expert in monsters.
And rivers. Yeah. Have you watched this show?
I have not.
Oh, my gosh. It's wild. Well, this one is a cryptid, I suppose, but he goes into actual things. And I remember one that I saw, he was hunting this, like, elusive giant catfish. And then he like catfish noodled it and found, and it was it was insane looking. It was prehistoric looking. I think it had giant teeth.
Nasty.
He finds, he like goes after like actual river or lake type stuff that just aren't seen a lot.
They're super rare.
Yeah.
I'd be into that.
Well, Greenland sharks are known to inhabit the North Atlantic Ocean around Canada, Greenland, Iceland, and Norway, making it very possible that they could also be in Scotland.
They're adjacent. They're neighbors.
Yep. These particular sharks are dark in color with a small dorsal fin and can reach staggering lengths of up to 20 feet. Just imagine for a second.
It's huge. A 20-foot
shark.
You
are swimming along and you see this thing coming at you.
20 feet is huge.
It's hard to imagine how large things in the ocean are.
Seriously.
When I try and really think about the size of a blue whale or a squid, my mind is blown.
It's unfathomable.
It really, I mean, literally, like there are fathoms and fathoms They're that have never there. Been discovered that who knows what the hell's going on down there. It's probably a real abyss situation, honestly. Have you seen that movie?
Isn't that where the they abyss? Sink down into the ocean and it's like hell? No, am I thinking, what movie am I thinking of?
It's like what, hell?
It's like hell?
No, it's not hell.
Oh, God.
Well, no, I mean, it's not hell because of what they find. This guy goes kind of crazy and starts
just
freaking out, but it's so good. It's an 80s movie. It's a really good movie.
Oh, no, I was thinking of one from the 90s. What movie is that? When they go down, is that Sphere? Was that all in their brains? I'm getting a mix of Contact. All
Contact
of them are
the is same. With Jodie Foster and it involves aliens. Drunkens.
Yeah. Spoiler.
Well, I think we're past it. It's all about her connection with her father.
I saw that when I was
father,
a child.
It?
You know, speaking of connections with your father, my family, my entire family, mother, father, sister, and I watched that movie as a child, and we hated it so much. That was like a running
Contact?
Bit in our family about how much we hated Contact. And how
I can't even remember
we
it.
We were like the English Patient family where we were the only family that hated that movie. It? Everybody around that time was like, hey, did you see Contact? Oh my God, yeah. Jodie Foster, so good. We're like, that movie sucked ass. And we felt like the only family that felt like that.
Is there something where she's on a beach and she
That's
sees-
at the end of it. Yeah.
That's really all I remember. I don't remember much about it.
That was our family running joke, is that we thought Contact sucked. No one else thought that.
That's really funny. Well, while the Greenland shark is typically a saltwater mammal, it is possible for it to survive in freshwater if it used adjoining lakes and rivers to find food. With the Loch Ness having an abundance of salmon and other fish, this theory is quite possible.
River monster guy sounds like an authority.
Well, despite endless searches of the loch that have turned up no monster, there are still those that choose to believe a few eyewitness accounts over mountains of scientific evidence.
Shout out.
For those also hoping to catch a glimpse of the beast, there are Loch Ness Monster watching parties, multiple sightseeing tours around the loch, and faithful groups that remain dedicated to proving once and for all that Nessie is real.
All right.
Okay, I can't wait.
Oh, wait, you gotta ask.
So what do we think?
Okay. Have you ever seen Land of the Lost?
I don't think I have.
Okay. It's a television show, both
is
in the 1960s
animated?
And the 1990s, live action. No. There is, due to a Pangea-like scenario, the land cracks.
Right.
Leaving a hole open.
This is what I thought you were going to say.
You said black hole, which is not the same thing
as
Land of the Lost.
You think there's a portal to another world under
That is correct. When it cracks, surely it would cause, you know, those logs to go shooting up.
Sure.
Maybe if there was a seal, it would go in and out. Who's to say? But Nessie, when you see these things moving, these large objects moving, it's probably a dinosaur or a dinosaur-like creature. And there's a hole, a crack that comes and goes at the bottom with the shifting of the earth.
So she's interdimensional.
And she comes. And it could be, it's, okay, in the Land of the Lost, I think they kind of try to explain it that it is a time portal, but I'm not saying it's a time portal. It may just be kind of a hole down there, and there's a whole other set of animals down there.
So how would they have survived from the Mesozoic era?
They don't have to. It doesn't necessarily have to be like a real dinosaur. So theory A is that it's a time portal and they're actually dinosaurs.
Yeah, strong theory.
Theory B is it's some sort of like Greenland shark sort of
That's what I'm
unknown
thinking it is. Yeah.
species
yeah.
that is shaped somewhat like a dinosaur, but a reptilian unknown species that is hiding in a hovel where.
So you're saying that in the depths of the loch that have not been discovered or explored.
Yes.
There is some sort of
cave or other big thing where creatures could be living.
A hidey hole.
Or maybe
a scientific
or even like a tunnel or a path to another body of water.
Correct.
So they're coming and going.
Inside the earth.
Interesting. I don't think that's crazy.
I think there's a Nessie hidey hole and she goes in and out.
There is.
In and out as she pleases.
I also think it could easily be something like a Greenland shark or just a really large.
I think it's just a land shark. Land shark.
Candy Graham. My dad woke me up when I was like 8 years old to come watch that sketch on SNL because he loved it so much.
It's so funny.
Yeah, I think it could be something that is undiscovered mm-hmm. or a prehistoric type thing. I mean, they find those things every
all
now
the
and then. Yeah. Where it's like, oh, we thought these were extinct. Surprise. We've been here the whole time.
There's five of them over here.
We're just
deeper.
Chilling. We just don't want to deal with your world, so we're down here in our land of the lost.
I know that feel.
Yeah. Honestly, I would love a hidey hole.
I'm trying to be in my hidey hole right now. Please leave me alone.
I think that's a strong possibility. I think what a lot of people do see, though, are
Logs
or other animals.
Logs
and dogs. That get misinterpreted because they want it to be something else.
They
but
think
you
a
know
seal.
What? It's not doing anybody any harm. Except for the, you know, millions and millions of pounds that have been spent. But
hundreds of millions
of pounds.
If
that's what you want to do with your pounds, then...
You know what? It's your money. You spend
it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Also, it's good probably for the area around Loch Ness.
Yes, my brothers and mom went to Scotland and Loch Ness mm-hmm. a few years back. They said it's gorgeous. It's very nice. Everyone's very nice. They do embrace the Loch Ness myth, and there's a lot of Nessie stuff. They did not go on a tour.
Oh, man.
I will tell you.
I want to go on a boat ride.
If I had been on that trip, I would have gone on a tour.
I want to go on a boat ride.
Yes, definitely. What if you're on a boat...
And Nessie comes out.
And she bumps the underside of your boat.
Nessie.
Do you still want to know?
Yes. She's been real to me the whole time. Mm. You remember how you said your brother would go to space?
Yeah.
I would get eaten by a Loch Ness monster just to know the
just
truth.
Just to know? You get drugged down to the depths of where she lives.
It's a good way to go.
A nice, cozy little spot under the water.
Nessie hidey hole.
Yeah, where she just hangs out.
Down with the slea stacks.
I imagine she's got like a little, one of those multicolored knit oval rugs that you
oh,
see,
definitely.
You know, that are very homey and a floor lamp.
She's got an Afghan on her knit legs.
Yes,
you know, a nice
yes.
cuddly.
A nice worn-in recliner that
oh,
she sits
yeah.
in. She's got a little TV stand.
That's so nice.
She watches all the stories about her and just chuckles to herself.
Oh, if they only knew the truth.
She has a cup of tea every day, like 3
a
o'clock.
Cuppa.
Yeah, a cuppa. Well, let us know what you guys think.
Definitely.
And if you think you've ever seen Nessie.
I would welcome photographs,
yeah,
stories.
Please send us some photographs.
I would
of
love
Nessie
to hear
if
this.
You've got that. Well, many of you have asked if we have a Patreon where you can donate to the show. We do. Our show will always remain free, but if you wish to donate to help offset the cost of making and hosting the show, you can visit sinisterhood.com and click on Patreon in the top right corner. You can get some sweet perks like Patreon-exclusive content, a Sinisterhood sticker, membership to our exclusive Patreon Facebook group, a special shout-out on the show, and a monthly bonus minisode.
We've been blowing up the Patreon Facebook. People have been sending news articles about the Bluebell
yes.
liquor.
Yes.
Somebody licked a tub of Bluebells, so we've been having
and
fun.
She faces up to 20 years in prison. Quite frankly, not long enough, if you ask us. I think it should be life.
Or she has to do community service where she just like hands out Bluebell at schools for the rest of her
oh,
life.
Oh, that's good too.
I'd be okay with that. That helps. That serves society.
Yeah.
Literally.
We all benefit. Yes. She soft serves society. Yeah, that group is super fun. If you're in the Ruling the Airwaves tier, then make sure that you ask to join that because we interact a lot in that group and it's a really, really fun stuff. Lots of fun stuff going
also,
on.
Also, someone told us an insane story about moving into a house and finding a cup of teeth in the house and then
yeah.
this full ghost story.
Yeah.
It
There's
was so
a lot
scary.
Of like creepy real life stuff that goes on
it was
in
great.
There too. It's a great group. My favorite on Facebook.
Definitely.
Well, make sure you stick around after our sign-offs to hear your shout-out if you have recently subscribed to our Patreon.
Some of you have sent us photos of yourselves wearing some awesome Sinisterhood merch. Thank you so much. Keep sending those. And if you also want some cool stuff, head to sinisterhood.com and click shop in the top right corner. It'll take you to a page where you can buy t-shirts, hats, mugs, and even a cool canvas tote bag, as well as clothes for your kid. Or we decided you could put the baby clothes on a dog. Please do that and send photos.
We still haven't seen that yet.
Not and yet.
Quite frankly, I want to see that photo more than one of Nessie.
It's the ultimate.
It's like what I'm living for right now.
Please send it. So again, head to sinisterhood.com and click shop in the top right corner.
The best thing you can do to help us grow is like, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast, and tell a friend who you think would like us to check us out. It means so much to us and really helps small podcasts like us get more exposure.
You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at SinisterhoodPod and like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Christy, where are you?
I am on Instagram at Christy M. Wallace and on Twitter at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I am on Instagram at Heather VS The World and on Twitter at MCK VS The World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for supporting the Patreon. Here is your Patreon shoutouts: Kayla Matheson.
Kelly LaPierre.
Ariel Thatcher.
Amelia Mahaffey.
Sarah Wetmore.
Kelly Clopin.
Cece.
Paige M.
Carrie Bartow.
Dallas, shout out. Blue Thompson.
Christy Fawn.
Megan.
Laura Feltham.
Anisha Brostek.
Amanda Glicker Jensen. You are the best. All of you, thank you so much for supporting the show. We love you so much. And be sure to head to the Patreon Facebook group and say hello.
Thank you so much. Keep it creepy.
Wahahaha.
Sinister.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.